So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the O'Neill view system, the oldest. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the inevitable disappointing F1 podcast to end the season.
Yep, let everyone down with a whimper.
I think it's best it goes out this way because we haven't got long for the next race.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that now wonders if it should have Young Presenters Day, where we do an episode but it's hosted by 13-year-olds.
If it gives us a week off, I'm absolutely up for that.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the last horse that finally crosses the finish line.
We're just glue. We're just the horse that should have gone to the glue factory. We're just sniffing our own hooves going, please, when will this pain end?
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that next year will still have two more races to cover.
Two more races next year than we had this year? It was too many this year.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. I'm Ollie Peart, and thank fuck that's over. What seemed like the longest season ever, and probably was, is done. And it went out with a damp fizzle in Abu Dhabi. I suppose we should be happy that there were no outrageous rule flouts to ruin the championship, but Michael Massey would have at least livened things up a bit. Tonight we'll be talking about the boredom of Sunday afternoon and probably all sorts of other nonsense, because A, it was dull, and B, that's kind of what we do. That's all to come. Joining me is a man who has no new car woes to report. It's Phil Tromans.
It has been a whole week and nothing else has gone wrong with my car. I've got a new instrument cluster. It's arrived. I put it in the car. It works. I haven't got around to sending it to the man in Scotland yet to make it fit my car properly, but it works. I haven't driven the car, so, you know.
Oh.
Something else might have
gone
wrong
with it. How many hours have you spent on that car since we last spoke?
Actually, not that many. Probably one.
Oh.
Like taking out the instrument cluster, putting the new one in, fiddling around with random things.
This might surprise you because I can't drive and I don't like cars, but I watch a lot of car content.
Is it all F1 content or other
content? None of yours, though, Phil. No, like I watch like Donut or something or old Top
Gear. Oh, Donut Media, yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, whatever they do now with...
Yeah, pre-Rory Reid Auto Trader had some good stuff with a particularly handsome young presenter, if you want to check that out. Actually, don't give him the clicks, don't do it.
No. But I've got to say, I don't like the word cluster.
Okay. What would you
prefer?
It
makes me think of cluster fucks and cluster bombs. So when you say an instrument cluster, actually it's quite apt for me.
It's very apt for me at the moment. I mean, you could say driver display. Is that better?
Just instrument panel. Just panel.
I'm happy with that.
Instrument panel.
Yeah, fine.
Cluster is a wank word.
What kind of ranking are you doing?
My YouTube...
A cluster wank.
I do a cluster wank. It goes everywhere. Into the shrapnel.
It's been banned by the UN.
And Angelina Jolie came round personally and told me to stop.
Not before one last show. Oh, dear.
So, yeah, anyway, I've got nothing to report. Yeah. Sorry. I've done very little this week.
Excellent. And beside him is a man who is in the snow. It's Terry Saunders.
If I could have been bothered, I should have opened my window and brought some snow in to show you that it's snowing.
Is it too late for that?
Why can't you do that now?
I pulled the blinds down. I'd have to pull the
Go and get some snow. Fucking hell. Come on.
Fuck you. Right.
Let it snow.
But we're not recording this on video, are we? So you're going to have to describe.
Oh, no, we're not. We can't do the YouTube this week. Various technical restrictions. Apologies, listeners, if you've tuned into our YouTube channel, which we've been picking up in the newsletter and will be picking up in this show. There won't be one this week because we've got technical trouble.
I'm back.
Go on then. Hi.
Where's the snow?
It's definitely still snowing. I can see lots of snow. I can't reach any from my window.
This is disappointing in myriad ways.
Yeah.
All right.
That is disappointing.
So beside me is a man who, as far as we know, is in the snow, but there's no actual proof.
I'm actually just in my apartment, which has got nice heating, and I'm quite cozy. Anyway, it's snowing. It's going to hit -6 degrees here this week.
Oh, that is chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cold. Okay. Yeah. How do you deal with the cold, Terry?
Put the heating on.
Try listening to
Life tips
with Terry Saunders.
Yeah, no, like when you're out in it.
I have a choice of two giant coats. I wear Dr. Martin boots.
Oh.
They don't sound warm.
They're not warm, but you know, I don't wear trainers. You know when it's snowing and you see people skittering around.
Yeah,
you
don't
like
do that.
it's they're like Bambi on ice or something, and you're just like, come on, put some boots on.
Yeah.
I remember a very cold winter back in my youth in Cheltenham Spa, where there was a lady that I was interested in, and I think we may have got it on that night, except I fell over on the ice like a total fool because I was wearing some like old Converse trainers.
You fell for her.
Oh, that's the line you should have used. I've fallen for you. Seriously, take me to the hospital.
I might have fractured my kneecap.
My pelvis hurts.
For you. Is this thing fractured or are you? Oh no, it's definitely fractured. Yeah, help!
Is that a swelling in my trousers? Or oh no, it is. Yeah, I've broken something.
I landed on my keys.
Good. So anyway, we've got no snow. Ollie, what's new with you?
Tell us some good news, Ollie.
Oh, okay. My dog's died.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Ollie.
That's my good news.
That's really sad. That's brought everyone else down.
Oh, it's awful. It's really, really shit. It's actually, it's terrible. It's awful. If you have a pet, you totally understand if you've had a pet that's been put down. It is just the most... Oh, I wasn't prepared for it. He was old. He was 14. But it all just sort of happened quite quickly. They said on Friday, he's got to be put to sleep. And then you've got to make that decision. And then you sort of... This is the brutal bit. Maybe they should do this with humans, I don't know. But you basically, you ring up and go, yes, I need to book an appointment for my
dog. God.
Oh, yeah, what's it for? It's for him to be put to sleep. Okay, we can do 9:15, 9:45, 10:15, 10:45. Would you like? And then you give them the time. You're like, 9:45? And you're just thinking, oh, my God.
I should have gone later because that would have given me more time with him. Yeah.
Well... Not even that. Like we were thinking about the practicalities and the logistics of it, but it just, I don't know, just all the whole process is just hideous. But it was the best thing for him. But anyway, because we found out on the Friday and he was being put down on the Monday, I didn't want to waste my time watching fucking Formula One.
Understandable.
Yeah, so I have not seen the race. I also moved house on Thursday, so I don't have any internet. I'm running, that's why I'm talking to you two, on my phone, which is why we don't have video this week. So it's all been quite stressful and full on.
I can only imagine how stressful that's been, Ollie. Any of those individual things is hardcore, and to lump them all together and then have to sit on the internet with us two late at night. I don't know why or how you're doing it.
If it's any consolation, the race really was about as exciting as having your dog put down anyway, so you didn't miss much. I do feel for you though, Ollie, because you know this is a really tough time of year for that to happen. Because if you get a new dog now, you're going to get some funny looks. Always buying a dog for Christmas.
Yeah. It's just for Christmas.
This one is just for Christmas.
But. Yeah, can you put this one in for 9:45 first? Oh,
God. I had a hamster that died, and I didn't know what to do with the body, so I rang the vet and said, "Do you take hamster bodies. You know, I've got a dead hamster. They were like, yeah, we'll get rid of it for you. And I didn't like the phrase get rid of it, but, you know, fine. And I realized that I had this dead hamster on the side, but I had to take it to the vets, but I didn't know what to put it in. So I found like an old box of crackers, as in
what, cars crackers kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out a hamster fits exactly in the box. It was like quite, you know, wrapped up in tissue paper and everything. Take it down to the place. And by that point, it's a bit weird because, you know, I was queuing up at the reception and I just gave this woman this box of crackers. And then I realized that she didn't know there was a dead hamster inside. And I think she thought I was giving her a gift. And I was like, there's a dead hamster in here. My name's Terry. I rang earlier. And then she was like, seemed quite offended by that. And I was like, well, what? Did you sell hamster coffins? I don't know. Anyway, then the next day, I was feeling quite tired. I was in Sainsbury's. And they'd stacked up a whole shelf full of the same exact box of crackers in Sainsbury's. And I could only picture like 100 dead hamsters on the shelf. I hope that cheers you up.
No, but it is weird though, because the other thing they do is they give you the car's getting really dark, but they give you the option of how to have your pet cremated, and they say, well, you have two options. You can have a private cremation, so Milo's my dog, and he'll be just of his ashes, which sounds like, I haven't got it yet, but it sounds like a sort of a party popper with his ashes.
Sounds like a t-shirt cannon. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. But the other option is, or we can just bundle him in with a load of other animals, and then we're just kind of, you know. So it'd be just in there with all the hamsters and the rabbits.
We
and
just
stuff
get generic, just like generic animal cremation. Ashes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And you're just like, well, obviously the private one. Why the fuck are you offering me that? I mean, anyway.
So hang on a minute. Let's not turn this into the dead pet podcast, but that's, again, more interesting than the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. But I had a very beloved cat that we had to put to sleep. In fact, I think when we started this podcast, he was still going. I can't remember. He was a lovely
the two unconnected, by the way, just to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just,
I mean, it wasn't like he really didn't like it, but.
It was a bet on the race and it went terribly wrong. And they asked me the same thing. They were like, well, can you can do a private cremation, or we can just bung him in with all the others. And I was like, yeah, bung him in with the others. He's dead now. It's just bones. Oh. No, it's just bones.
I know. I don't know. It may be, that's wrong of me to say it's different with her cats. I don't think that's fair.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is in danger of spiraling out of
control. No, it's definitely not. It's not fair for me to say that. I don't think it's fair.
No, well, I think it's
a personal choice, isn't it? It's a personal choice.
Well, I'm the same. I don't fancy the idea of cremation when I die. I'd like to be buried and then dug up by archaeologists hundreds of years in the future.
Why wouldn't you like to be cremated with loads of other people?
Well, I don't really care, but I won't be that. I don't want to be cremated at all. I want my bones to be found in a comical position.
I want to be donated to medical science. Or, do you remember there was that Body Worlds exhibition?
Yes, Gunther von Hagen's.
That's still going in Berlin. It's in Alexanderplatz. It's still going, like 20 years on. So maybe I'll...
Are they all like rotting a bit now, falling off?
No, they've been plastinated.
They're all preserved,
point.
Aren't they? They look
they don't just slap them up quickly and before they go off and then change them every week.
There's a dog there this week.
That would...
Sorry.
You cannot help yourself. Welcome to Listener's Corner, which still won't make for great racing, no matter how many times you reprofiled it. There's no getting away from it. The 2023 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was not a classic. Let's hear some moaning about that. Wayne DeWops says, it's about time that F1 stopped finishing the season at that super boring Abu Dhabi. These are allegedly the best drivers in the world, right? They can definitely handle a real-life version of Rainbow Road.
Yes.
Jamie Penning says, wait, that's it? Just the usual non-event at Abu Dhabi after the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas? Well, that's just great. All the accolades for Max Verstappen are well earned. Let's make the winners' table a bit more diverse next year with more than just three drivers winning races. Will Bowen says, what an anti-climax. And no amount of hype from the commentators or screen graphics showing the race for second in the constructors was going to make the difference. I never thought I'd say this, but can we have Las Vegas as the last race of the season and turn Abu Dhabi into the end-of-year testing session?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, look, Abu Dhabi shit. That's it. That's all. Now, I mean, I don't know. There's something about new Formula. I mean, I've written the State of F1 a bit about this, but there's something about new Formula One versus old Formula One, which is where we used to put up with this a lot more, and now it feels more unacceptable that there's these like weirdly shit tracks, because in the new Liberty era of Las Vegas and sprint races and, you know, fancy graphics, it feels less acceptable that we have such a turd at the end of the season. And yet next year there is like 12 new races and they'll all be shit.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a sort of a vested interest in Abu Dhabi because it's the race I've been to the most, because I used to live over there. And I think I went to all of them until 2013, 2014, something like that. And I've said it before, the facilities there are so good. It's a nice place. But the racing, oh my God. Even when, I mean, obviously 2021 was interesting, but only because of what it stood for and all the controversies. And then there was one year, I forget which year it was, maybe 2012, that was quite interesting because it was just Alonso stuck behind Vitaly Petrov for the whole race, and that had championship implications.
Yeah.
And then one year, Kimi Raikkonen won it, and that was quite fun.
And there was a year, I mean, there was a year that Rosberg and Hamilton, when Rosberg won and Hamilton was trying to back him into the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things, but that,
but it's like, it's specific circumstances rather than the racing itself.
Yeah, they're all championships. If Abu Dhabi was the third race of the season, then we'd have nothing to talk about. It's only the fact that they've got this coveted end of season spot that sometimes interesting things happen, because the end of the year, people are going, oh, he's going to get second in the championship. I don't give a shit.
And to be honest, at the moment, the problem, and the last, I mean, actually, thinking about it, God knows how long, it's mostly been some sort of dominance, and the chances of actually getting to the last race of the season with anything meaningful to decide is so minimal, you know. When did Verstappen win? Was it like July or something that he wrapped it up?
It was like ages ago.
It was ages ago. So, Bahrain, yeah, they're really screaming, it's like, who will get the best qualification record between the two Haas drivers or whatever it is. It's like, come on, barrel scraping for excitement. And I, you know, and maybe it's just fatigue after a really long season, which I'm even more worried about for next year. I was actually available to watch the race live, and I was just sat there going, oh my God.
I had the same thing.
I just found myself really having to work hard to concentrate on it and not just get distracted by anything else.
I had the exact same thing, because I've, you know, the last three or four races have all happened on days when I'm either busy or I've had a late night or I'm working or something. This was a Sunday afternoon, a classic Sunday afternoon. I've got no plans. I've got the projector on. I'm going to sit and watch the race, and I just couldn't be bothered.
At one point, a squirrel ran along the fence outside the living room window, and I got up to go and look at it run along.
It really was that shit.
That reminds me of... I think I've told this before, but many, many, many years ago, like, we're back in the kind of refueling days of Formula One, like, you know, early 2000s, they did this initiative where they were showing Formula One races in the cinema. So you go to the local cinema and watch a whole race. The only problem with that was, it was when the races were really boring.
Just watch Michael Schumacher rob to victory for 2 hours.
And you don't realise how often you just kind of potter around your flat when the race is on. You're just like, oh, I'll just do this, I'll have some food, I'll make this.
And it'd be frowned upon to have Twitter open.
I know, and when you're sat in a cinema seat, you're just like, this is it.
And that presumably is before full HD as well. Before 4K.
Well, that was better then. You don't want to see everything in detail now. It's horrible.
I mean, I quite like the 4K, but I don't know. We'll get into this in the season review, which we will be doing at some point, about how good the season was as a whole. But I think because the last race was actually surprisingly decent, this one maybe felt even more just like,
Let's imagine that Las Vegas was the Christmas party, right? It is the office Christmas party. Everyone's got fucking wankered. You know, so-and-so's got off with so-and-so. Thingy got fingered on the photocopier. And
Ross Brawn, yep.
The day after that, it's your birthday. And you've been like, oh, I've got a few friends come out for my birthday. And you've managed to get some people to come from the office party, but they're all hungover. Two of them aren't drinking. Two of them are just like making out with each other. And your party is shit. And that's what Abu Dhabi felt like. Everyone was hungover from Las Vegas. And at least three of them had been fingered. I'm so sorry.
No, it's true.
Mate, they're just using the photocopier.
There's
just
a lot
photocopying.
I mean, there's a lot of interpersonal relationships in F1 because they basically just travel around all the time and never see anybody else. And I can only imagine that now there are 22 races and next year 24 races. That's only going to continue. It's going to be incredibly incestuous. So it wouldn't at all surprise me if that kind of stuff goes on during the race.
Do you think the teams bring their own photocopiers or the circuit has to provide them?
I mean, do people use photocopiers these days?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I haven't worked in an office in a while. And even when I did, I was like, I don't remember using photocopiers. Just like scan it in, print it.
I suppose you're right.
If you work in accounts or something.
Or it's all digital now.
No, there was an inflection point where it got easier to scan something and print it than just to photocopy it.
Like you can scan PDFs from your phone now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
All right, Phil, you show off. Yeah.
Then you can use AI to change the numbers.
Well, I had the thing today. I had to fill out a form for some boring admin shit, and my printer wouldn't work. And I said, "Can I just sign it digitally?" And you can do that. So it's like I don't think I've used my printer in about 6 months, because why would you now? Save the planet.
Picks of the day.
Yeah, you don't get this on Autosport.
It's the last day of term. Should we just not talk about the race?
Yeah, let's just play Mousetrap and wear our own clothes.
Let's just say, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to know what happened with the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, I heartily recommend Mr. Apex podcast, because they probably fucking loved it. Oh, I bet they were just wanking themselves silly about it. Oh, pit stop strategies.
Oh, you've seen their YouTube broadcast.
So I think we should talk about anything else. Great.
Enough of that nonsense. Let's look ahead to some possible changes for 2024. Gwen Harkness says there was some hubbub that the FIA were going to change how the sprint race work next year. And I'm really looking forward to see how they screw that up completely. Neil Burge has an idea on what this new format should be. FP1 and FP2, as usual, single quali session Saturday to set Sunday grid. Same grid reverse for Saturday sprint. Sprint points are half a point per place gained.
I like this idea. I do worry that you could game the system. Because if it's is it per place gained at the end of the race, or is it per overtake? Because you could, in theory, qualify and Max Verstappen qualifies on pole, flies through the whole grid, then backs off, lets everyone go past him again, and then overtakes again. Or is it just how many places you get from the end? Because then, if you qualify last, you're guaranteed not to get any points because you'll be starting on pole and you can't gain any places. So I think there's some things to be ironed out a little bit. Yeah,
there's no incentive to go quickly. So everyone will be going slowly.
There needs to be some things ironed out. But in theory, I quite like the idea.
I am not a purist when it comes to this. I like the idea of as many interesting, wacky, stupid formats.
You're going full Bernie, are you?
Yeah. I think there should be like 3 regular Grand Prix and everything else should be wacky races. So just something different. Because when you've got 24 of them, and this is, I know we're kind of joking about this, but 24 is
many.
A lot of races. It's too many races. I was just thinking, like looking back on this year, I can't really remember that many races individually.
I've watched them all.
I've watched nearly all of them, and there's so many, and it's the same. It's every couple of weeks. It's become too routine. I don't like it. I think we should have less, or repeat the race the week after. Just put a repeat up like they used to in the old days.
I'm absolutely in agreement that the sprints, if we're going to have them, are the time to fuck about, to experiment, to try some wacky ideas, to see which ones work and don't, to make it a bit of fun, to not necessarily have it count towards the championship. Like, you have to do it, and there should be some incentive as to why you should do it. I don't know, maybe you can win more wind tunnel time or something. I don't know, but... Yeah, let's try all the wacky ideas, even if only to rule them out. I think that's the perfect way to do it.
I think there should be some qualifying sessions that are like one car goes out at a time. Like Monaco would be good for that. You know, you just go out one at a time. And
Monaco should only be qualifying. Get rid of the race.
No, and then the race should be... I've got an idea for the Monaco race, which should be they have to make Monaco-specific cars.
Separate from the cost cap.
Yeah, you're all given an extra, what, I don't know, 30 quid. And you got to make a car.
A Monaco special. It's like a homologation special, but just for Monaco.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe there are no rules.
It's half the size, half the power.
It's got to be a... You know the little cars they make for the wind tunnels? Yeah. One of them. Imagine that. Well, around Monaco.
You can buy some quite, like, if you're somebody who has lots of money and loves cars, you can buy like half scale classic cars these Perfect. Days. Like, people make them and they're, you know, they're bonkers expensive for what they're like, $20,000, essentially kids' cars, but for Formula One would be great.
Yeah.
And then you have half the grid starting in one direction and then half the grid starting in the other direction.
Brilliant.
So at one point there's a pinch point where they meet, and then they have to really slow down, and they put indicators on them as well so that it can just kind of guide where they're going.
Or they just if it's Monaco, they just keep the streets open. It's just a normal shopping day, but they have to race through.
All street races keep the streets open.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a street race. Where are the market traders?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are the school children?
We've seen some oranges pouring everywhere when an F1 car crashes through it.
It should be like every movie chase scene. There should be workmen carrying panes of glass across the pit straight.
Some empty cardboard boxes makes the car look good.
A lot of them.
Be amazing.
Mix it up. Fine. I'm actually not going to slag them off for that. Let's mix it up and see what happens.
In the spirit of looking forward, let's peer into the future of drivers. F1 had its annual Children's Day after the Grand Prix, where up-and-coming young gunslingers got the chance to test a real-life F1 car to see if it's something they'd want to do when they grow up. So, here are the guys that you'll almost definitely see in F1 in the future, unless they turn out to be rubbish or run out of sponsorship money. Should we decide who's going to make it? Red Bull had reigning Formula E champion Jake Dennis, 28, from the UK, and decidedly average F2 driver Isaac Hadjar, 19, from France.
No, neither of them.
28 seems very old these days, doesn't it?
28's too old. Sorry, Jake. If you're already the Formula E champion, I think you know where your future lies. It's Formula E, and then WEC, and then maybe IndyCar, and then punditry.
Ferrari had Israel's 2022 F2 runner-up Robert Schwarzman, 24.
Too old. If he was going to do anything, he'd have done it already. I don't know where he's going to go. This is the trouble with modern F1. There's no spaces.
Has there ever been like a famous Israeli driver?
There's a couple. I mean, Schwarzman's probably the best one that I can think of. There's also, Nissani? Roy Nissani is Israeli, isn't he? But he's famously rubbish. Can't think of any others.
Mercedes had this year's F2 runner-up, Frederik Vesti, 21, from Denmark.
Clearly good and not insanely old. Again, he's going to have the same problem of, like, where's he going to go? Also, Mercedes are favouring the bloke we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Kimi Antonelli.
And also, I feel like we should actually do this based on how we would talk about them if they became Formula One drivers, which is me mocking their names for the standings.
Okay,
so
no,
Vesti,
yeah.
I get a lot of work out of Vesti.
In favour of him?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's got take your sleeves off and your sleeves and your vesties. There you go.
Some Vesti it's a size of coffee, isn't it? A Vesti.
That's a Verti, isn't it?
That's a green, Verdi. Isn't it? That's a the Verdi operatic, that's a composer.
Pavarotti.
Verdi. Verdi, that's right. I don't think he's got much of a chance with F1. He's too big and dead.
McLaren had 2018 Indy Lights champion and current IndyCar racer Pato O'Ward, 24, from Mexico. He was the fastest driver in the test, just ahead of Vesti.
Now, Pato O'Ward is a strange name.
It is, isn't it? It's all over the shop. He's Mexican, but he sounds a bit Irish. I don't think so. On the one hand, the Americans will have heard of him, which seems to be something that they haven't done with Logan Sargeant because he's never really raced in America. On the other hand, again, he's getting on a bit. He doesn't have any direct F1 experience. He is the fastest, but, like, you know, he's not going to get a McLaren seat anytime soon because they're fairly well nailed in for the next couple of years at least. Where's he going to go?
If he gets ill, you know where to find him in the hospital. The O ward.
Oh God! That one needs a little bit of work.
I mean, I'm spitballing here. You know, normally all of my
stuff. No, it's great.
Normally all of my stuff is very, very highly written.
Absolutely.
This is just what it's like raw.
There's lots of rigorous research goes in.
I'm raw dogging these F1 drivers, these young boys. Yes.
And if you want to read more of Terry's fan fiction,
Alpine featured Jack Doohan, 20?
Yes, I will hunt.
There we go. He's the son of Australian bike racing legend Mick.
Mick Doohan. He's not just called Mick. He's not like Prince.
No, I know, but it's just Mick. It's just
Mick and Jack.
Australian bike racing legend Mick. fast but inconsistent F2 driver. He was third fast.
Hang on, does that mean that his dad was a fast but inconsistent F2 driver?
No.
Yeah, does it?
Jack Doohan is a fast but inconsistent F2 driver.
But you said Jack
he's won races, but then he's
son
not,
of Australian bike racing legend Mick and fast but inconsistent F2 driver. It makes it sound like racing legend dad is a fast but inconsistent.
Who is this Mick? Yeah.
Well, he might have made him up.
Hell, Mick.
I mean, he's Mick Doohan. He's probably quite quick, but he's also probably in his 60s now.
Mick Doohan.
No, I don't think Jack is going to get anywhere. Although I haven't said that, I mean, he's young enough and he's got money. But again, where's he going to go? I haven't said that.
They're going to go somewhere, Phil.
I'm doubting my... Yeah, they're going to go to Formula E. I'm doubting myself now because actually I can see, of all the teams who could have some sort of thing where they hoof a driver out, I can see it happening at Alpine. Either because they get angry at each other and punch each other. They're not good enough to like be nailed on for their seats, I don't think. So and maybe
when Audi inevitably pull out and leave the team as a shell of itself and Peter Sauber comes back in, they're going to want some cheap young drivers.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing... I think he's done a few FP1s in the last couple of years. So, maybe, but...
Anything for Jack Doohan? Would you do something with that? Jack Doohan.
I think it's Doohan. I think that opens it up a bit more. It's like, what you doing?
If you want to see the world, I can take out tonight.
I think there's opportunity there.
Definitely got a seat next year. In the Alfa Romeo was the new F2 champion and Sauber reserve driver, Theo Pourchaire, 20, from France. I'm pretty sure that's Pourchaire.
It means for the chair.
It means something about chairs, doesn't
it? I am destined to have this racing seat. My name is Pourchaire.
I would say he's got the best chance of any of them to actually get into F1 because he's won F2. He's quite young. He's had a fairly long-term association with an F1 team. I don't see it happening in the next year. Well, certainly not next year. I mean, maybe the year after, depending on what happens.
I like the name Theo for an F1
Theo.
Driver.
It's probably pronounced Theo.
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 The trouble is he's only good at night races because once daylight comes, he wants to go home.
Poor on.
I don't get it.
What?
Daylight come and me one go home. Day-o.
Oh, I was doing the trio. I was doing the trio advert.
Yeah, that which is that song.
Yeah, but I don't know the words.
chocolate. Well, maybe he'll win a race and they'll cover him in chocolate. I don't know.
Aston Martin gave some time to the 2022 F2 champion Felipe Drogovic.
There's nothing you can do with that Brazil. Name. Nothing funny about that name at all.
The Drogovic don't work.
Drogovic.
The trouble with being F2 champion now is it is not a guarantee that you'll get to F1. He's been kicking around as a reserve driver for a while now, and he's showing no signs of getting anywhere. Like, unless Alonso retires, and even if he does, are you going to want to replace Fernando Alonso with an absolute rookie so that your leader is Lance Stroll? I don't think you are if you're Aston Martin. I don't know where he's going to go.
Maybe there should be like a new racing series in between F2 and F1, like F1 and a half.
I think I'd be up for that.
Thank you, because it'll
happen. In a few years, they could do like F... They go, right, you go from F4 to F3 to F2 to F1.5 to F1.3 to
F1.5. It's like when I'm trying to get my daughter to do something, I say, I'm going to count to three, and then she's taking too long, and you're like, well, I don't want to just go, no, you failed, you're not getting any tea time. You go... 3, 2, 2.5, 2.5, whatever it is.
Well, she'll never... Well, A, that was the wrong direction, but she'll never learn that way, Phil. You've got to give tough discipline. Put her in a cupboard. I mean, never did me any harm. Here's a trick.
What are you, Harry Potter? Them.
Here's a trick. Tell them the door's locked, but don't actually lock it.
Haas were hosting F2 race winner and last year's F3 runner-up, Ollie Bearman, 18, from the UK.
Oh, how do you feel about that? How would you feel about British. Ollie Bearman?
It's a strong name, that.
It's a strong name.
Ollie Bearman.
It is.
Bearman's
He's
good.
Part
yeah,
bear,
yeah.
part man. He is actually quite highly talked about, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him sniffing around a seat and maybe, and he's young, so
he's
maybe
very
in like
young.
3-4 years.
You bored, Terry? Terry's so bored. I'm tired. Season. He's like fucking bored of this.
He's remembering the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. That's the trouble. With
I'm gonna Google Ollie Bearman.
No, he is apparently rather good.
Oh God, he looks so young. I know.
Well,
that
he is. He's
18.
Less. He's way less than half our age. So yes.
No, Google but if you well. Just Google him, the picture that comes up, he looks like he's 10.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. He looks about 10.
Yeah.
These can't be sports stars.
George Russell-y.
He does look George Russell-y. So I hate him now.
He does.
He's like a slightly. Yeah. He's a smaller-eyed George Russell.
Yeah, looks a bit.
Because I've always thought.
Yeah, but they get him in the makeup that George Russell has, and he'll be fine.
I think he's in the Ferrari Academy. He is quite highly regarded. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn up in F1, and to do quite a lot more FP1s in the next couple of years.
Williams welcomed 18-year-old Brit Zach O'Sullivan, who was runner-up in F3 this year, and F3 also ran Franco Colapinto, 20 from Argentina.
Zach O'Sullivan looks a little bit rough. Like, he'd have you in a fight.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Not sexy.
I don't know what he looks like, actually.
No, Zach exactly.
O'Sullivan.
This is fun.
Zach. I think he might. Again, he's young and got a pretty good record. He's won several F3. He's not winning F3.
Lando
but he's
Norris.
Not far off. Oh, sorry, he didn't win.
He looks like Lando Norris.
A rough Lando Norris.
Yeah, but that's what. Why do they all look like the existing drivers?
Oh, he really does look like Lando. He looks like a cross between Lando Norris and Lance Stroll.
Teo Pucciarelli. What is everything?
Pucciarelli.
Horchair.
Google him, because his picture, he looks like he's been sniffing lead.
Oh, yeah. He's been having some fun times, hasn't he?
What do you do in your evenings?
He's got very European hair.
Terry, what do you do in your evenings? Well, I Google teenagers and laugh at their appearance.
I think you should start doing an F3 and F2 podcast. But it's entirely based on what they look like and their social media feeds. Nothing to do with their racing. Anyway, O'Sullivan possibly, because he's young and has a pretty good, but he's got to prove himself in F2, because we've seen lots of drivers come through and then get to F2 and just go nowhere, really. So if he does well in F2, then yeah, probably. Colapinto has not shown much sign of being particularly brilliant, so no.
And of course O'Sullivan, if he's got his dad's temperament, it might go against him.
Who's his dad?
Is it Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Yeah. Well, in that case he'd be a rocket, surely. He'd get 147 points. At one race.
AlphaTauri ran Ayuma Iwasa, 22 from Japan.
He is not 22. Google him. He is like a 35-year-old man pretending to be 22 to get into Formula 1.
Ayuma. This is fun. Iwasa.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yes.
Hello, I'm 22. Oh. I love Margaret Thatcher. What? Why did you say that?
Oh, my God.
He's
what year were you born? 1967, mate.
Looking at his record, I don't think he's good enough.
It goes
you're just
back
looking
a long
at his
way.
Record. You're just saying picture.
I'm looking at the fact that he absolutely dominated French F4 and then was decidedly average until this year in F2, when he was good at the start of the season and then maybe not quite so good for the rest of the season.
He was way better in 76.
No. His favourite record is Black Lace, Agadoo.
Weirdly, that was the Spotify Unwrap thing came out today or recently. No. My wife did hers today, and Agadoo was at the top of her list of my daughter.
Oh, that's really sweet.
She honestly, my daughter absolutely ruins our Spotify algorithms. All my top five songs were from Moana.
Oh, yeah, but there's some good songs in that.
I mean, there's a banger of an album, but still.
Yeah.
I haven't done much.
What's his face, old?
You're
the Rock.
Welcome.
He's got a good voice.
Look, Ollie, honestly, I could go on and on. I could explain every natural phenomenon. I'm not going to continue.
Going.
No, I can't. I can't remember
it. What?
I don't know what you're doing.
Should watch Moana. It's good.
Yeah, Moana.
I don't
good
have
film.
Kids. This is the one joy
of
having kids.
It's the one good thing about having kids is actually there's some good kids' films kicking around.
I have
but
a
there's
lot
an awful lot of shite.
I have a lot of disposable income, but I never have to listen to fucking Disney films.
Oh, yeah, fuck off about the disposable income. The one thing I have noticed, though, actually, I do want to just run this past you, Phil, because I don't know why, but I don't think any other parent has spotted this, but they must have done. You know Hey Dougie?
Yes, great show.
Right, yeah, there was an episode where they were doing, like, shadow puppets. Hey Dougie's head looks like a cock. It looks like a bell end.
Of course it does.
Yeah, but why has no one pointed this out? Like, it's so fucking obvious that it is a cock.
Well done, Ollie. You've won your sexual register badge.
Woof, woof, woof.
Our woof.
Terry's like, oh, God, what are they talking about whilst I just sit in all
I mean,
this
Hey
money?
Dougie and Bluey are the best kids' shows. Fight
it
me.
Is quite penile. It is.
There's one, there's Hey Dougie and like the shadow puppet episode, and he's casting a shadow on the wall, and it definitely looks like a cock.
I think you would, though. I think that's what you do when you make kids, Teddy. You just try and make everything about rude jokes. Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, I found a screenshot, and yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, if you'd been generous, it could be a toadstool.
Well, toadstools could also be penises.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, in fact, it's literally the picture I found is somebody on the internet commenting, anybody watch Hey Dougie, what a bell end.
Is it me?
Incidentally, my penis is like a toadstool. It's red with
my penis
white
is
dots.
A toadstool.
It's also like a large dog.
Red well, with mate. White dots.
That runs a kid's activity centre.
Let's not talk about
the more I think though. About Dougie, the more... Oh, sorry, fuck.
It's okay, you can talk about
sorry,
dogs.
Sorry, Ollie. Your dog did not look like a cock.
Like a penis.
Supposed to be my being sympathetic. Like I am sympathetic.
It does bring up remind me of stories though where or moments when his penis would make an appearance at completely inappropriate times. That's always fun with a dog. Just pops out like a little lipstick hook.
We've all been there.
Right, anyway, tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're at For F1's Sake or email us. At wrong at wrong at ff1s.com where you can also leave us a team review. Just email a voice note to wrong at ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, then why not buy us a beer? It really helps focus the mind. And of course, we need our A game for the ff1s review of the season of the year. So thanks to Joshua Stewart, who says, cheers, gentlemen. Thank God it's over. Have a great break.
Thank you, Joshua. I will cheers to that. Thank God it's over. It dragged on a bit, didn't it? But we made it. We made it, guys, and now we've got some drinks. Thank you.
That's just this episode.
Joanna Greenland, who says, this season has been so long, I don't remember if I bought you a beer yet, but you inadvertently said my name twice last podcast, so I'll take that as a sign from the racing gods. Cheers.
Did we?
Just as a note for our listeners, you can buy us more than one beer a year if you want.
Yeah, we drink beer all year round. So
I'm drinking beer constantly.
Yeah, it's becoming a real problem, but we can't stop.
I'm in deficit. I'm in debt. I'm in huge
beer debt.
Beers. So we need all the money you can give us.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Greenland.
And Michael Abbon.
Michael Abbon is a man of very few words. He hasn't said anything just because he's drinking.
Yeah. It's like, no words, just beer. Thank you, Michael. Much appreciated.
And thank you to these monthly donors, Neil Fraser,
yes.
Bernard Ward, Chris Lee, and Jenny and Ralph Brynard.
Yeah. The Brynards. I bet they've got a Christmas card with their photo on.
Help us with our winter stocks before we head into hibernation. Go to ff1s.com/pointless. Oh, fuck's sake.
Oh, we've got to come up with another song. That's right, you've had stuff on your mind. We'll come up with a song. Hang on, let's think of a song. What are the songs? What's on my Spotify link? Hang on. I can't remember.
Well, I did a Las Vegas themed song last time. So shall I do an Abu Dhabi themed one?
Well, let's do
this
Spotify Wrapped. I'm going to look at my top Spotify Wrapped thing.
Abu Dhabi.
Do. Aga team.
Abu Dhabi. Dhabi.
With the teams. Something touch my knees. I don't know. Yeah, something about teams.
Oh, I'm playing my Spotify Wrapped. Sorry.
I haven't got a Spotify
Abu Dhabi. Oh, how would it go?
Abu Dhabi, 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 push bright apple, shake.
Shake the team's
Abu Dhabi, 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 push bright apple. He pushed me off to the left, to the right,
to jump the up right,
and down and in the pit. Come and dance every night. Verstappen is the shit. Oh, no, 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 no. In the sun. Who is that coming out now? It's George Russell on the phone. You cunts. Abu Dhabi, Dhabi, Dhabi.
Excellent. That was excellent.
Christmas single?
Red Bull. Max Verstappen sealed his 90th win of the season by continuing to be unlikable, but really, really good. Sergio Perez continued to hang on to his second driver status by the skin of his teeth, being terrible in qualifying as usual, recovering to second, but then dropping down to fourth, thanks to a 5-second penalty for colliding with Lando Norris. Was that penalty a touch harsh? Ask someone who didn't watch the fucking race.
I mean, I recall at the time thinking it was quite harsh, but it's now 3 days after the race, and I can't remember any of the details about what happened.
Look at I, oh my God.
So well, I'm going to say that, yes, it was quite harsh.
I'm going to say it wasn't harsh at all. He should have got a 10-second penalty. He should have been kicked out of the sport. I think that what was harsh was, did Leclerc let him through at the end so that he could go ahead and try and beat Russell on the track?
Because
just the ignominy of Perez's season, that at the end of the race, a Ferrari lets you through to try and get someone else to do well.
And you still can't pull it off.
He's probably in the car going, no, don't let me through. Make it look like I'm, oh, God, this is so
this was him once again at Abu Dhabi inadvertently being involved in some sort of moderately important battle.
Championship hijinks.
Yeah. So Leclerc's idea was that if he let him through, he would pull far enough away that he would demote George Russell. George Russell wouldn't get the points, and therefore Ferrari would get second in the championship and $10 million. But it didn't work. Ferrari did up. Perez Ferrari did up.
Perez was an honorary Ferrari driver this week.
I was going to say, surely at some point Perez has got to drive for Ferrari. If ever there was a team and a driver perfectly suited to each other.
Well, Las Vegas, he's wearing a Ferrari uniform. This week, he's being let by Ferrari. So I think
it's team orders. He's playing part in team orders for Ferrari.
But it is a mad strategy. Well, I say a mad strategy. I mean, it makes sense. But surely there is something wrong with the sport if there is a point in a race where you're like, oh, yes, in order to do better, I must give up a space. Like, it just is weird, isn't it?
I mean, that's like the whole...
It was probably the most interesting thing about the race because you had to keep going. You had to do some maths to work out what was going on.
Yeah, it's quite clever.
So that keeps you awake.
There's layers to this shit. Yeah. It's sort of like pinching yourself on the knee to try and stay awake. Not on the knee. Why would you do the knee?
I'm doing that now. Ooh. Phil.
That's
your own inner thigh.
Never really called that before, but I'll give it a go.
That's why I was thinking knee, you know. Anyway, right in the dougie.
It's been at times a bit nip and tuck to decide who was the best Ferrari driver in 2023, but the year ended with Leclerc on the podium and Sainz crashing 8 minutes into the weekend for the second week in a row, then messing up qualifying, messing up his tyre strategy, and then basically just giving up. Does that settle that then?
Pretty much, I think. I mean, I did think it was pretty hilarious that after crashing in Las Vegas 8 minutes into FP1 when he got shotgunned in the underneath of his car, and then this race again 8 minutes into his first session, which was FP2 because FP1 had been some young driver, he then crashed after 8 minutes again. Has that ever happened before?
Well, has it ever happened again?
It might happen again.
We'll have to find out. We'll have to wait and see again if it does happen. Maybe they've just put 50p in the meter after 8 minutes.
That buys you 8 minutes.
Oh, shit.
That would be a good feature. If we ran like a Formula One YouTube channel with budget and time, it would be like, how expensive is Formula One? And it would be how many 50p's you'd have to put in a car for it to complete a race. But then you'd have to think of the weight of the 50p's. You'd need a lot more fuel, which would mean more 50p's. So it would just never end.
Terrible.
I look forward to seeing the
like
pilot.
The season.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, I think Leclerc started really well, took a dip, and then Sainz had a good little bit, and then he's gone crap again, and Leclerc's come back. I think overall, yeah, Leclerc's had the best of it this year. I can't actually remember where they ended up in the standings, but we'll hear that later with Terry Saunders.
I don't know. I think so my perception, which is not based on results or memory or whatever they've done, this is my perception
or facts.
Of them. Yeah, definitely not facts. It's not even opinions. It's just how I feel. Is that Sainz has been very stern. He's been having goes at his engineers and everything on the radio and conducting strategy. Leclerc just seems to have been mostly a bit shit, and then every now and again is good. But Sainz, I think, has come out on top this year.
Interesting. Ooh. I would not agree with that. I'd say that he is... Although, having said that, he won the race, didn't he? He won the only non-Red Bull race.
Yes.
I've had too many whiskies. I can't speak properly. So, on that, I think his highs have been higher, but his lows have been lower.
Yes.
And if that's not the Ferrari story, then I don't know what is.
Mercedes. After a nothing weekend in Vegas, at least one Mercedes driver got his act together in Abu Dhabi. George Russell stopped being disappointing for a bit and nabbed himself third place, being faster than Lewis Hamilton all weekend. Hamilton was, in fact, fairly rubbish, pootling around the back of the points, tangling with Gasly and generally being a shadow of his former self. Are we expecting him to come back with a beard next year to become Lewis 2.0?
That would be pretty funny if he turns into the new Valtteri Bottas.
I thought he had a beard.
What was that? What was that radio message that Russell did when he was like, "Ah, oh, what the fuck are you on about?" He's like, "What?" There was something. I remember tweeting about it and saying, "Christ, he's a c-, isn't
he?" Yeah, I saw you tweeted about it, and I think I'd fallen asleep at that point and didn't know.
It was something like he said, "What's going on with the championship? Can we get second place or whatever?" And he was like being all kind of like schoolboy, going, "Oh, can we win the race?" And he was told, "Oh, just race your own race. We're working on it." Anyway, what the fuck does that mean? Where's Lewis right now? And it was just like, really? Don't say what the fuck does that mean to your radio people. You're such a little shit, George Russell. You're such a cunt.
You said a naughty word, Terry.
Say how you feel.
I confess, feel... I did completely miss that bit. I might have been watching a squirrel.
What a fucking squirrel.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know how I feel about George Russell. I think maybe it's all F1 drivers. Like, sometimes I like them, sometimes I think they're bellends. I think you could actually apply that to every single F1 driver, and maybe there's just something about being really, really good at something that means you have to have that.
Yeah.
At some point.
I think the reality is, if you met most F1 drivers in person, current ones,
I don't know.
Would you want to go and have a pint with?
I suspect if you met a lot of them just socially, they'd be fine, but if you had to work with them, you'd find them insufferable.
Oh, I think socially they'd be insufferable as well.
Yeah, I think socially. I think the only person, and it doesn't matter anymore, the only person I would really like to go and have a pint with is Vettel. But
I suspect now Bottas would be pretty good to have a pint with as well, because I think he's found his level.
He's
just busy getting his ass out riding bikes, and then every now and again he drives an F1 car. I think he's found a nice little thing.
Who would I have a pint with?
Raikkonen probably.
I think sometimes Norris would be quite good, but then it just talk about
Norris is too young. I wouldn't understand the image references.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be live streaming it all.
I think Albon or
Albon seems all right.
I think the Haas drivers.
Yeah, again, probably because they're more of our generation, aren't they?
They're our age. They're cynical and world weary, and even though they're successful, they're also failures, and I really relate to that.
Yeah, they're doing all right, but they're never going to be champions of.
All right, all right, fucking hell, Phil. Jesus,
I'm sorry. You could still win, you know, Le Mans.
Really?
Or the Indy 500.
Ooh, I've heard of that one.
But the Triple Crown is probably out of reach now.
Hey, Dougie, anything's possible if you dream, Phil.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've done loads of stuff in my dream that I've got no chance of doing in real life. But we won't go into that.
Speak to wife about it.
No.
Yeah. McLaren. Recovering from his massive smash in Vegas, Lando Norris had a slight fuck-up in qualifying, but otherwise aced the weekend to finish fifth. Oscar Piastri started all the way up in third, fell back a little bit, and finished sixth, which is still okay. Perhaps he's finally worked out how the tyres work now. A solid end to the year for McLaren?
Yes. I think so.
Aston Martin.
Okay. Yeah, I still can't really believe the turnaround that they've had, considering how fucking awful they were at the start of the year. I think if you're measuring amount got better over the year, they are the champions.
And it's all going to kick off because Oscar Pistorius has just been released from jail. So that's going to really shake things up next year.
I think driver swaps between Piastri and Pistorius. What do you think?
I think he's going to turn up at the garage and be like, who the fuck are you? And they'll be like, who the... hang on. How did you say South African accent without sounding racist?
Oh, who the fuck are you? Who
you got to say diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity. Get me Riggs and Sergeant Murtaugh.
Who the fuck are you?
Okay. Who the fuck are you? Anyway, yeah, McLaren have done well. McLaren. Yeah. And well done Piastri, actually, in all fairness. We'll talk more about him in the season review, I'm sure, but he's done well.
He's done very well.
Very well.
Aston Martin. Ray Glennon sends us this report.
Aston Martin. Alonso showed us that very clearly the thing that keeps him coming back to this sport is messing with Sir Lewis Hamilton. But he actually showed some amazing discipline throughout the race and throughout the year, coming in fourth in the Drivers' Championship, which is his best result since 2013. Also, Lance Stroll was there. A very porpoisey up-and-down sort of year for Aston Martin, so worst of the best or best of the rest?
That's a good question, actually.
He's got such a lovely voice, hasn't he?
He does.
I thought it was AI at first.
Thanks, Siri.
What am I thinking about Formula One? I was doing that horrible woman's voice.
It's a lot better than that.
Instagram, you know. I did a thing. Yeah. That voice.
I don't know.
That
sounds like a TikTok voice.
The TikTok voice, you know. Oh, I was trying to open a door. Oh.
This woman has some legs.
Oh. Yeah,
I know what you mean. Ray Glenn does not sound like that.
No, he sounds real.
No, that's the... No,
and he's also highlighted...
buttery smooth. I would like to rub him.
Okay, let's move on to what he said.
What did he say?
Well, he highlighted the fact that Fernando Alonso has finished so fourth in the championship.
Fernando Alonso has done very
well. Genuinely impressive. Considering the car went to shit in the middle of the year.
Yeah, but think how many podiums he got at the start of the year.
That he maximised the opportunity. Lance Stroll wasn't getting those podiums.
No.
I mean, we'll get to the standings in a bit. PDEIO.
Stop picking up the standings. It's not going to be very good. I'm tired.
I think he's done really well. There's life in the old dog yet. I say old, he's younger than me. But
I can't see...
Gives us hope.
This has to be... I mean, okay, look. At the start of the year, we were joking that Alonso in Aston Martin is going to be a disaster. It's going to... There'll be 40 out by the end of the year. And let's be honest... Didn't happen.
It hasn't, but it's not gone smoothly, has it?
No, there's been a couple of moments. None of us expected he'd get podiums at the start of the year, and he did very well, very consistently. And for a while, you know, he was the one, if Red Bull ever fucked up, he was going to be the one to take the win, but Red Bull never fucked up, and he never did. But surely this has to be the high watermark of his second half of his career, because I can't imagine Aston Martin doing any better next year.
I mean, you say second half of his career. I mean, when did he start? It was either 2001, 2002, I can't remember. And he came in, and within like 3 or 4 years, he'd won 2 world championships, and then it's been downhill ever since then. So that was... So 2006 was his last one. So that was 17 years ago, he says, doing some maths,
yep,
that he last won a world championship. I really hope he's still driving really well.
Yeah, I hope he does next year and the year after, so he can be racing 20 years after his first championship.
I mean, that would be quite an
impressive
thing.
Whilst Lewis Hamilton's sitting there with 8, and by that point, Max Verstappen will have 5. And it's just like, how many have you got again? Oh, sorry. We had Vettel as well. He had 4. Oh, yeah. What happened? Yeah. Hey.
Vettel comes in looking like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo going, I got 4 world championships, man. Yeah.
Even Raikkonen's going, I forgot I had one.
He didn't even... I think he'd forgotten the day after he got it. You know, he's still driving really well, but I think if the car is not good next year, I think the Alonso we know and love will come back out and he'll start slagging it off and there'll be an almighty dust-up and he'll leave in the middle of the season. But, you know, as long as he's still driving really well, and he is, you know, he's absolutely got the measure of Stroll. Although, in fairness, this race... I mean, Stroll's been a bit up and down as well. Like, you remember a few races ago, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere other than in the Formula One paddock. Like, he'd really had enough. And then the last few races, he's kind of got a little bit better again. So, and he, you know, for all we slag him off, he's not the shittest driver on the grid. You know, he's fine.
That's George Russell.
Well, just got a podium.
Sorry, the shithead driver on the grid.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you know, well done. Well done, Fernando. I mean, keep it up. And as long as he's still fast, keep him in there. And it gives hope to all us oldies.
AlphaTauri, another correspondent. This time, it's Dawn Janacek.
AlphaTauri. Another boring race, but we did get to hear the crazy phrase, Tsunoda is now race leader. For the little man that we knew nothing about more than he needed to take a shit one time on Netflix, I'm happy that he got to lead for a little while. Danny Rick hung out way at the back for most of the race and ended up in 11th. What are you guys going to do for a few months while we aren't waiting for the FIA to do something ridiculous, laughing at Ferrari unable to plan a piss-up in a brewery, or wondering why Alpha even shows up?
Well, there's several things to talk about there. Firstly, Tsunoda. Well, okay. Yeah, Tsunoda had a good race.
Well, it was Franz Tost's last race.
It was. We raised a glass to Franz Tost. Prost to Franz Tost, who is sailing away. And, you know, yeah, he got one of his drivers to lead a race on his last race. Great.
Which makes you think you could have done that more often, mate.
Yeah, yeah. What have you done? You won a race with Vettel. Did Verstappen win a race for Toro Rosso? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think he did. Sorry,
you just got all cockney there. Like, it was just like,
cockney?
What the fuck you do, mate? what's going on? You could have done it, mate, before.
I went to London yesterday, so maybe that's why.
You've been fucking sandbagging all this fucking time, you little shit. Loved his mum.
God bless him.
God bless him.
Yeah, you know, fine. So, I mean, Tsunoda's another one I've kind of written off. You know, every now and again he pulls something out of the bag and he has a pretty reasonable race, but they are way too few. And I think if Red Bull had any other options, they'd have replaced him by now. But, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry and things to worry about. Danny Rick, you know, the wheels have come off his comeback once again. At what point?
They can't keep coming off his comeback.
I was going to say, how many wheels does he have, and at what point has his last wheel fallen off?
At this point, he's just stood on the track naked, apart from one shoe that's been drenched in milk or something.
Milk? Is he going to IndyCar?
Yeah.
Because he can't afford the champagne. So
I see.
Milk. But actually, I don't think milk's the best. What's the cheapest drink?
Water.
Because milk's quite expensive.
Water.
Well, no. Literally falls from the sky. Than water.
It falls from the sky.
Yeah, but it's not a drink.
Yeah, no,
is it?
I know. But if you have to buy
a drink.
But if you buy water, it's more expensive than milk.
Probably roller cola.
Yeah, like a Panda Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
A sock drenched in Panda Pop.
The Danny Rick story.
Alpine. Fourth in Vegas and nowhere in Abu Dhabi. Esteban Ocon said he wasn't feeling very well and neither was the car. Pierre Gasly made it into Q3, then slid out of the top 10 and, well, everyone stopped caring. I don't even have a question.
No, Gasly has been shit in races. Like, it feels like Gasly's either very good at qualifying or very bad at racing this year, but it always seems to be sliding backwards in the races.
It's just inconsistent.
Ocon always seems to be going forward. I just put Alpine out of its misery.
I mean, when you trace them back, they've got so much history. That's the team that
Alonso won
championships with. But they've just been... Well, we've talked about it before. Their management is all up the creek. And they cannot decide what they want to do. And they're just massively all over the shop. And I kind of feel bad for the Enstone guys. I'm sure many of whom have been there for the really good times and remember them fondly. And they're just going, if these guys in management could just sort their shit out, maybe we could win again.
Sometimes I question, what do I really want? Because, you know, I hate all these lower midfield teams. I moan about them every week. Oh, Haas were there too. AlphaTauri, what do they do? Oh, Alfa Romeo was shit. But what am I advocating for? Do I really want there just to turn up to a race and there's just four teams? It's just McLaren, Mercedes, Aston Martin and Ferrari. And all the others have gone because I've said, they shouldn't turn up. And they'll go, all right, Terry, we won't turn up. And the race, would the race be any better if it was just eight cars in it?
No.
No, we should have a large cast of rotating guest teams.
No, I
think... To keep things fresh.
Because I noticed at the end of this race, because I wasn't really paying attention, and I looked at the scoreboard at the end, and, like, no driver had retired. And it's like...
No, Sainz retired. And yet still didn't finish last. Yeah, they just pulled him out at the end, I think.
Oh,
I think he was classified like 18th, but he basically
retired. I was near the end, I mean. I wasn't at it. It was like near the end of the race. And, you know, I reckon if you just had eight cars going around, it wouldn't make any fucking difference.
I think there should be more cars.
Oh, I think there should be more cars. But I don't think the cars we've got aren't good. They're not shit enough to get in the way, and they're not good enough to compete. They're just,
They're just kind of quite good.
We've talked about it before. It's Formula Meh.
Yeah, Formula Meh. Nothing left.
Williams, in what could have been Logan Sargeant's last week, but bizarrely looks like it might not have been, the American did at least beat one of the Alfa Romeos. Apparently, that's enough to keep you drive now. Alex Albon managed to qualify 14th and then stay there, which is fine, probably.
I don't quite know
Williams have had a good year, but Logan Sargeant has not.
Yes, I would agree with that. I'd say Williams and Alex Albon have had a pretty good year. I mean, a few years ago, what have they got, 20-something points? They would bite your arm off for that a couple of years ago.
I've got a
stat. There was one race that Albon had a stunning race at one. I can't remember which one it was, but he was just like, he's driven really,
he's
really
outdriven
well
that car, and he's made Sargeant look particularly terrible.
I have a stat.
Hit me with your stat stick.
Albon has beaten Sargeant in every qualifying session this year, which is very rare that one driver beats the other driver in every single qualifying. And do you know when the last time that happened was?
Go on.
It was Max Verstappen against Alex Albon.
Oh, no way.
So what you're saying is we should send Logan Sargeant to Red Bull?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're doing all sorts of Formula One maths that don't necessarily stack up, but Sargeant, I mean, it does. It's not been confirmed, at least at the time that we're recording this, as far as I'm aware, that Sargeant has a seat for last year, for next year. But it does seem like he is going to get it, which seems a shame and, frankly, undeserved. Am I being harsh on him?
I mean,
no.
I mean,
he has been terrible. I mean, he
makes lots of mistakes. He's not fast enough. I don't really see what he brings in. I haven't seen any signs of like, ooh, if he could just iron this and this out, he'd be all right.
Carlos signs.
Nice.
Yes.
And he's not left an impression.
Not really.
Off the track. I'm actually Googling him and I don't recognise him.
He's not American.
He's left the wrong impression. He's left the wrong impression.
His nose is very skinny at the top.
You're obsessed by people's appearance at the moment.
I am very...
I mean, in fairness, yes, I've just looked at a picture of him and he does have quite a skinny nose at the top. I'm in no position to comment on anyone's nose because I have a absolute honker of a nose.
No, we are three white men on a podcast. We could comment on anyone's appearance. That's the law.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there's a few I'd be more careful of than others, but sure.
No, it's fine. This is what we do. This is what we've become. We started doing this podcast when podcasting wasn't very cool, and now every fucker's doing a podcast. And
yeah,
we're just another.
But you were a bit more diverse when you started.
Exactly. We're just now another white sausage.
Before we were three white people.
Yeah, talking about a sport that no one fucking likes.
Well, no, everybody likes it now.
Bored of it.
So say we were doing this before Drive to Survive.
I don't think I like Formula One.
No, well, that's been the whole USP since we started it. That's not new. Ugh. We love it, we hate it.
Whatever.
Terry, I thought you were going to come in at the top.
No, I'm not going to sing.
What? Ha ha. Oh, this is just a horrible melange.
This is Jamie McNaught.
Yes. How cute was K-Mag and his little daughter putting on his gloves and shutting his visor before qualification? Knocked out in Q1, a last place finish in the race, Magnussen fully shamed her and had to go back to the crying child from Daddy's incessant failings. Hülkenberg fared much better in qualification with a great 8th place grid start for the race. He then went on to get his elusive first He slipped down to 15th, Haas came last in the constructors, closed the pit doors, had a merry drink, whilst the drivers revved the engines until the fumes took them all away to a better place. Merry end of season, chaps. Thank you. You are the Max Verstappen of the podcast world. Take that how you want. Love you.
I take that as a personal insult, Jamie, but thank you.
I love it. That means we are the undefeated champions.
And awful, awful people. Yes.
Terrible people.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic Haas, wasn't it?
It's like Haas. Oh, what's happened to your voice there? What happened to your voice there, Phil?
I don't know.
Your voice went really funny. It was great. I loved it. You get a bubble in your throat.
It might have been that.
You know when you're trying to be really serious and you get a little bubble in your throat and you're like,
several whiskey and cokes now.
So. That was really...
Might be that helium I just huffed. Yeah, this was a classic Haas weekend of Hülkenberg being really good in qualifying and then them almost immediately both tumbling down the grid because the car cannot race. It's really quick over one lap and lousy in the race. You know, we were talking earlier about which drivers you'd like to go for a drink with. Hülkenberg and Magnussen, I think, now are mature and not diva enough that they'd probably be quite fun. I quite like the stuff with Magnussen and his little daughter in the pits. That's quite nice.
Yeah,
fine. I mean, we're contradicting ourselves here because they are the ultimate meh team. But you know, I mean, they seem like they're having fun. No, actually, no, ignore me. They need to be better. I like the atmosphere, but they should be better. I love what they're doing, but also I hate it.
They are awful. They're great.
Yeah, I love them, but you know, they need to really sort that shit out.
Yes.
Also, what happened to Günther Steiner? I feel like I've hardly seen him in
Günther Steiner. I hardly knew you.
Well, he was like the hot shit 3 years ago. Everyone was doing good. We've even probably got a T-shirt.
Yeah, but
and then I feel like I've hardly seen him. Has he stopped being the meme?
Wasn't that just Drive to Survive?
He got too powerful. I reckon what happened. Drive to Survive came out. Everyone was saying Günther Steiner, and then the rest of Formula One went, "No, mate, fuck off." We know you. We know your secrets.
Oh, what's his secrets?
Oh,
I don't know.
Is he German? Is he Swiss? Is he Italian? Nobody knows.
He's nothing.
He's just Steiner. Living tax-free somewhere.
Might be. Probably.
Alfa Romeo.
No.
Shite and invisible at the end.
Yep. No. Done. That's
all of which takes us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
So, unfortunately, the David Croft on the commentary said a chilling fact over the weekend, which was that the testing for the next season is in about 90 days, which sounds terrifying because I want a fucking break. So I try to work out what else can you do in 90 days before the season comes back. So in 90 days, you can do most of my relationships, to be fair. and by the way, I did just get most of these off a list. So in 90 days, you can potty train a toddler. So if you can find
can
a...
Can you?
Apparently.
Yeah. It was shorter than that for us, I think.
There you go. You can
show off.
You can plan a wedding. That's Lewis Hamilton. You can make a new friend in 90 days. So maybe we should all report back in 90 days with a new friend.
Not even going to try with that one.
Okay, then number five, you can make an enemy.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Done.
Yeah.
I've just
couple
done
of
it.
Minutes.
I've just done it.
You can design and sell a T-shirt, something for one of us in this chat.
It's taken a lot longer than 90 days for us to do that. 90 years, maybe.
You can write a manifesto. You can overthrow a government. That's George Russell. You could learn German. That's Oscar Piastri. So my German, by the way.
90 days?
We're not fluent, but you can get the gist.
My German. Give us some German.
I can't think of it.
Hello.
Hello. Ich denke nicht. Mein Wohnung ist weiß und ich habe eine Katze und
eine Katze.
Eine
Katze.
You're ordering a sandwich. You're saying and some ham and
that's
cheese.
All I can do.
Schinken.
Ein flat white mit Hafermilch, bitte. Yes, I'll pay by card.
I wonder what you just said there. So cryptic.
Anyway, my point is, my German's still not very good. I've been here for 3 years, so I'm going to take some lessons and learn better German.
From Oscar Piastri.
Okay, in 90 days, great.
Okay, in 10th place, you can quit your job and work out the notice. That's if you've got a job where you've got to do a lot of notice. I've never had one of them. 11, you can lose weight. I'm going to lose some weight between here. I've put on some weight at the end of this year, so I'm going to lose some weight in the next 90 days.
You don't strike me as somebody who's particularly obese.
No, I'm not particularly obese. I've just put on some weight. I went to America.
Okay, understandable.
Yeah, I had one meal in America. It's still working its way through my gut. You can design a better fucking car. That's for Alpine. You can improve your credit score. That's Alexander Albon. You can gamble all your money away. Which one of us wants to volunteer for that in 90 days?
No, thanks.
It wouldn't take me long.
I've already done that. I've just bought a house.
You can keep buying and selling things at progressively higher values until you can afford a Starbucks coffee. That's Valtteri Bottas. You can write a book. That's Hülkenberg. You can learn to knit. That's Ricardo. You can bake a cake. That's Chokan Yu. I mean, baking a cake isn't really a 90-day thing, I guess.
That'd be a hell of a cake.
What a cake.
Yeah, Jesus.
Do you know what, I just got
just
sad.
Very dry.
I just got sad. My nan, who's dead now, used to make Christmas cakes. And she would do that thing where you'd have to put sherry in it. So she'd bake the cake like a month before. Then you prick the bottom and pour sherry into it.
Soak it.
Oh,
such an old person thing to do that, isn't it?
Because you can just buy
a
cake
these days.
Yeah.
None of us have the time. But yeah.
We don't. We've got Instagram.
And also don't like Christmas cake.
What do we do?
Instagram and watch TV.
Yeah.
That's basically what we do now.
Raise a feral toddler.
I found an armchair on the street the other day.
Another one?
Was it probably
did you get all
one?
Your chairs from the street? Didn't you get the chairs from outside a doctor's surgery in London?
That was an office chair, Phil. Keep up.
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
But no, I got an armchair on the street. And it needs recovering, you know, and hoover the spiders out and everything. But I was like, you know, when I get some time, I'll recover it and put some more foam in. I've got a brand new chair. It's a nice kind of leathery, swivelly one.
I'll recover it, put some more foam in, sort the frame out, get some
new
nails.
Become an upholsterer.
That was about a month ago. And it was only yesterday that my partner pointed out to me that I haven't actually moved it from where I dumped it when I got in the front door. So I basically dumped it. So you can't open the door all the way because there's a chair in the way. She said, are you going to put this somewhere? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to work on it. And I was thinking to myself, I've had no time in these last few weeks. But that same thing, Ollie, I was thinking, I have had time to go on Instagram a lot and have several baths. I could have done this chair.
You've had a bath? I have not had a bath in at least 5 years.
I sometimes have two a day. I'm terrible.
For fuck's sake.
I love a bath.
Your water bill must be ridiculous.
It's Germany, they don't even have water.
Anyway. You just sit in the bath.
In 19th
empty
place,
dry bath.
You can serve time for a petty crime. If you get a 90-day sentence, you can get back in time for testing. And in 20th place, get something to print. Now, I wrote this before you talked about your printer, Phil, but I had a printer thing earlier on. Couldn't get anything to print. It would take 90 days to print something.
Maybe it's a global thing.
Control P print. Oh, it is that. Oh. Learn the rules of Formula E as Logan Sargeant. And then, because we're talking German, I have decided in German to give my roundup of all the teams auf Deutsch.
Super geil.
So, Gewinner mit der gelben Nase.
Nice, with the yellow nose.
Winners with the yellow nose, yes. Verblaster Silbenerpfeil.
Something about
those damned silver arrows?
Faded silver arrows.
Oh, okay.
Rota Valeria.
Oh, I don't know what Valeria
is. Rota Valeria.
Something about a...
red something.
Lawnmower.
Red losers.
Red losers, all right.
Orange Farben Jungend.
Orange-coloured... boys?
I was going for the orange youth.
Okay.
Orange youth.
Grünes Geld.
Green gold.
Green money. Rosa Liebe.
Pink love.
The car's a bit pink and they're having the tiffs. It's Alpine. Altblau.
Old blue.
Yep, that's Williams. Fast Totweiss. I don't remember what that one was.
Nearly completely white.
Yep. Scheiße and Schwarz.
Shit and black.
Alfa Romeo. And Rot, Schwarz and Meh.
Red, black and Meh. I love it. We should do a German version of the show.
Yeah.
In like really shit German. I think we'd be great. Ollie, how's your German? Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Nein.
Okay.
I've got this book.
I can't speak any German. It's not a language I even bothered to try and learn.
Same here until I moved to Germany.
Yeah.
And exactly. 3 years since.
It's a shame, really, because I've been to Germany maybe a handful of times. It's a lovely country.
It's lovely actually. Here.
Underrated.
Es ist schön.
Country. Yeah,
es ist schön.
But no reason to learn the language. They all speak English anyway.
Yeah,
I know.
Das ist dein großes Problem.
Your German's quite good.
That's the way it should be. When I go abroad, I choose the countries where people speak English. That's what I like.
Like Spain.
As a white man. Yeah. I said a beer, por favor.
Donde right, esta so before we... el toilets, squire.
Ein oh, beer bitter. So bitter. Can I have a bitter?
Oh, I can speak Danish.
No.
Speak
oh, hang Danish. On. Wait, where did that come from?
I lived in Denmark. I lived in Copenhagen.
Did you? I did not know this about you. We are very international, aren't we? So we've all lived abroad at some point.
Yes.
There you go.
Wow. We're like Formula One.
Yeah. So before we get to TMOTMOD, this is the moment where we ask you, yes, you, dear listener, to help decide who is our MOTMOTSOD or man of the match of the season of driving.
Mot-mot-sod.
Mot-mot-sods. We're going to have a short list of three, with each of us nominating our chosen candidate, and then you can choose who deserves the accolade by voting on Twitter or the Spotify episode of this podcast. Phil,
hello.
Who's your man of the match of the season of driving and why?
My man of the match of the season of driving is Liam Lawson. Because he came in facing a very difficult challenge. And apart from his last race, which wasn't great, I think he absolutely nailed it. And I don't think anybody expected him to do it. I'm not even sure if he's ever going to get in an F1 seat again, because it doesn't look like he's going to get the Williams gig next year. I hope he does, but I think he's absolutely smashed it. And I'm full of admiration for him, because that is a thankless task that nobody would have blamed him for not doing that well. And I think he did extremely well. So he is my mot-mot-sod.
Good.
Yeah, good choice. Terry?
I'm going to go with Daniel Ricciardo.
What? Explain yourself.
Well, you've got to remember the origins of mod, which is, I can't even be asked to learn the word from, this is what I'm like with German, I just kind of go, I'll just guess, mod. It's not for good drivers, it's for drivers who have entertained us, and I have been entertained by Daniel Ricciardo this year. For the first half of the year, wasn't even in the sport, loved it. So then, you know, it comes back into the sport, and you think, oh my God, is it the big comeback? You know, he was doing testing, and he was all this talk about he was great in the simulator. Then he gets his race chance, and he's kind of fine. And then he breaks his hand, which obviously isn't funny, but also hilarious. Then he has a few races out where Liam Lawson comes in and does better than him. Then he comes back in, and there's this kind of like, well, his hand's healed. Has he got it? Has he got what it takes? No.
Well, one race. Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
he does.
One race did quite well, which brings you up and then brings you back down again. He has just given so much this year.
I mean, yeah, okay. Maybe I've forgotten what the true spirit of Mot-Mot-Sod is.
Do you remember
about.
Jolyon Palmer won it once, one year?
That's true.
It's always about the driver who makes us. Who's given us
the most material?
Content.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if it's too late to change my vote.
Well, who would you change it to?
I mean, if we're talking about content,
Daniel Ricciardo.
Sergio Perez.
See, that would be a
good...
Got
a lot out of him, haven't we?
Oh, maybe too much.
But I don't feel like he's done well enough to get my nomination, ironically.
Well, I think that's
cool. I'm sticking with Liam Lawson. No, I'm new claiming Mot-Mot-Sod for Liam Lawson. Ollie, have you got any thoughts? Are you going to take part
in this? This one's a difficult one for me because I...
me too.
But on your two suggestions, do you know what? I'm going to go... I'm torn between Alex Albon and Lando Norris. I've actually really enjoyed watching Lando Norris race this season.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking back through the races and the times where I've been most sort of like, yeah, go on, that's great. And it's probably... I'm going Lando Norris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we have it.
I've enjoyed watching him drive this year.
He's been up and down.
That almost sounds
well,
serious, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, there we go. So you can vote on that somehow. I don't understand what we mean by the Spotify episode, but I presume that will make sense.
There's a little thing. There's a little Q&A thing at the bottom of Spotify.
Is that going to be on this episode?
Yeah, I know.
The world is changing very quickly, isn't it?
On this episode.
Are we sponsored by Spotify?
Very quickly. We are. We've just been bought by Spotify.
Have we?
Now we've just are been
we,
sold.
Are we all millionaires now?
Sold.
I'm Joe Rogan.
No, they took all the money. Yeah. You are Joe Rogan, yes.
You're roided up and full of conspiracy theories.
I am one of those things. Absolutely. Paul McCartney is dead.
I am Andrew Tate. Now I'm not. Now I'm not Andrew
Top
Tate.
Top G. Yeah.
Does he have a podcast?
Probably. Everyone's got a podcast these days.
And now, the man of the match of driving.
Sergio Perez.
I don't care anymore.
And now it's time for the state of F1 with Terry Saunders.
It's time to talk about Abu Dhabi. It gets a hard rap because it's absolutely shit, but also its position contractually at the end of a season is a relic of an era in Formula One which has passed. I mean, Bernie Ecclestone. And by past, I don't mean he's dead. He never will die. But he, the grandmaster of F1, the P.T. Barnum of the Grand Prix, sort of turned out to be like the Wizard of Oz hiding behind a curtain. Tiny, and ultimately, he did more harm than good. Abu Dhabi has money, so much money that everything about the place is pristine except the odd track action. And in the years where Bernie would play everyone off each other to try and scrape the best deals, he promised Abu Dhabi the coveted last race of the year spot because Australia weren't stumping up the cash. But then it all backfired and we got lumped with the shittiest track in the world when either the championship matters or worse, when it doesn't. Yes, Hamilton trying to hold back Rosberg in 2016 was entertaining, and the fiasco of 2021 was also a bit of a hoot, but these were circumstances in spite of the track and not because of it. But don't worry, I have a solution. We can moan about the Liberty Netflix era all we like, but think back to how frenetic and cutthroat and dodgy deals and Ferrari special payments and breakaways and old man cigar club the sport was. And yes, modern sprint races and Red Bull domination are hardly a classic era, but the season finale needs to be given back a bit of luster, and here's how I do it. It's a five-step plan. Number one, the track is a surprise. Like your rich friend's lame birthday party, the teams aren't given the location until the week before. Two, huge magnets. Not to try and stop the cars. That would be dangerous, silly. But actually, how much of a modern F1 car is magnetic? Interesting question for the YouTube channel. But the magnets will destroy all the team's hard drives. They've got no data. They have to start from scratch. Three, reverse grid order by weight. Heaviest driver starts on pole. We're really liven up qualifying, which will just become an eating competition. Four, on lap 30, you have to start driving the track in the opposite direction. This will be very tricky for lap cars. And five, a dangerous car. If the race is getting too safe, a drunk Australian, possibly Ricardo, depending on contract, rides around the track in a ute with a shotgun, the opposite of a safety car. The end.
I love it. I mean, that if ever there was a job for Mark Webber, that's surely it.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good at that, wouldn't he?
I mean, he's got some scores to settle, I'm sure. I love it. Yeah, brilliant. Make it happen.
That's it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about the new Braun documentary with Keanu Reeves because I haven't watched it yet.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk about the new Braun documentary with Keanu Reeves. I've watched the first episode.
Oh, any good?
We haven't got time. Yeah, it's fine. It's very weird having Keanu Reeves interviewing Ross Braun. It's just very weird. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're like, is this a dream? This must be a dream. Because why the fuck is Keanu Reeves interviewing Ross Braun? What the fuck is it? The world is changing so fast.
We'll be back at some point over the festive period with our end of season spectacular, where we drink even more than usual and pick over the bones of the season. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1sake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1sake. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel where you can watch disappointing faces spout the same words you've just heard, but not this week because of technical issues. Just type in forF1sake, and it's the one with the yellow logo, not the other chances that used our name for a little bit.
Fuck those guys!
Terry, where can people buy merchandise?
Well, we haven't updated our shop for like 2 years, but the other podcast called For F1's Sake actually did some nice merch, so buy it off there.
No, don't! They spent all their time making reasonable merch when they could have just checked to see if there was another podcast with the same name as theirs that's been around for years.
Thanks for listening. I've been Ollie Pitt. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Ollie. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.